The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday in what could be the most significant abortion rights case in decades. The case deals with a Mississippi law that bans abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, a law that's unconstitutional under the precedent set by Roe versus Wade. But after the arguments yesterday, court watchers say a majority of conservative justices may be ready to overturn or limit that precedent. We're talking about what we heard in yesterday's oral arguments and what it could mean if the court overturned the current right to an abortion. Catherine Kraschel is with us. She's an expert on reproductive law and executive director of the Solomon Center for Health Law and Policy at Yale Law School. Katie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we dig into the details, what is your main takeaway after watching yesterday's oral arguments?
I mean, I would say that there's two main takeaways. I would say that one is that the court seems more willing to explicitly overrule Roe than we might have thought before going into the oral argument. And two is just the grave consequences, what that means for women across the country, for pregnant people across the country, if the case comes down this way, and what it means for abortion access. It's a scary terrain that we'd probably be looking at from state to state.
I know a lot of Supreme Court watchers don't like to predict outcomes based on oral arguments, but it seems like a lot of them are making predictions based on yesterday's oral arguments. What did you hear from justices that might point one direction or another?
Yeah, so I think there's a few of the justices that we had an idea, a more clear idea that where they would come out. So for example, Justices Breyer, Kagan, and Sotomayor were pretty clear before going into it that they were probably on the side of overturning this abortion ban. It was less clear where Justices Coney Barrett, Justice Kavanaugh, perhaps Justice Roberts might fall. And what we saw play out yesterday at the court, especially I think with probably Justice Coney Barrett and Justice Kavanaugh, was a willingness to entertain, perhaps a greater willingness than might have been expected, I should say, to overrule Roe rather than to take a different question, which was the question originally posed before the court, which was whether or not the viability line that was set in Roe meant that all pre-viability abortions, the abortion law before the court is a 15-week ban, which is about 9 weeks before viability. And so the question was whether or not that viability line would stand such that the 15-week Mississippi law is unconstitutional.
Yeah, can you talk about how that change kind of happened? As you said, the initial argument was we're going to move the timeline here from, I think, 24 weeks to 15 weeks. Correct me if I'm wrong on the exact numbers there. Mm-hmm. The issues may be changing now to Roe versus Wade in its entirety.
Yeah. So there was, you know, there's a lot of discussion right now about the legitimacy of the court. So it would be a big thing for the court to overturn a 50-year precedent like Roe. And there's concern that, you know, doing so sort of removes this veil and shows the court as a very politicized body. So one thing that people have conjectured is that in order to try to maintain legitimacy of the court, that there would be justices mindful of wanting to, even if the end game is to get rid of the right to abortion in the United States, to do so incrementally. So that first step would be the viability line. And then maybe in the, you know, terms to come, there would be a continued chipping away at the abortion right. And based upon some of the questions that particularly, for example, Justice Kavanaugh asked yesterday, it seems that there is a greater appetite for a more explicit overruling in this case. So for example, Justice Kavanaugh at one point in time, the argument listed off a number of cases that the Supreme Court has previously overruled. The suggestion, of course, being that this would be business as usual if the court were to overturn Roe. And he pointed to, though, a number of cases that were rights-enhancing cases. So for example, most recently, perhaps the Obergefell discussion that, you know, affirmed a constitutional right to marriage equality, or Brown versus Board that got rid of school segregation. So he listed off a number of cases as if it was business of the court as usual to overturn precedents rather than to stick by the constitutional principle of stare decisis. But the cases that he mentioned really do the opposite of what the court would be doing if it overturns Roe, which is to restrict a woman's liberty interest, their right to bodily autonomy, to decide if, how, and when to be pregnant and to build a family. So, but his raising that list of questions and sort of desire to normalize what the court would be doing if they overruled this 50-year precedent, arguably is a signal that perhaps he is willing to overrule Roe rather than take the sort of stepwise approach that some people thought the court might take, particularly in light of its desire to maintain its legitimacy and not look like a political body.
Talking to Katie Kraschel with the Solomon Center for Health Law and Policy at Yale Law School, looking at yesterday's oral arguments in a key abortion case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Katie, if the court were to go in that direction and, in effect, nullify the Roe versus Wade precedent, it then, as I understand it, would go to states to make decisions about abortion law. What would happen right away? A lot of laws would come into effect in states around the country, right?
Yeah, I mean, that it's a big question mark for some of the states, I should say. For many states, yes, there are some states that have laws on the books that some even explicitly mention Roe, and that if Roe is no longer the law of the land, then, you know, immediately laws go into effect. There are other laws that aren't that explicit, but that are still on the books. So there's a little bit of a question about if they immediately come to life. And of course, you know, usually we think of legislative processes as perhaps being very deliberative and slow, but, you know, there's nothing to stop a state legislature from convening, passing a law, passing it on to the governor, and very quickly we could see abortion rights drastically changed in this country. And yes, each state could do a different type of restriction or a different type of ban, depending upon the state legislature and governor in the state.
Yeah, a state like Wisconsin has kind of a legacy law. I've seen people refer to it, over 170 years old, banning abortion. It was nullified, in effect, by the Roe v. Wade decision, but never removed from Wisconsin's statute. Are you watching states like Wisconsin to see what might happen again, assuming Roe were overturned?
Absolutely. Those are, you know, Wisconsin is an example of a state that we would be watching very closely.
Supposing the court doesn't go to the level of completely overturning Roe, but does uphold the 15-week line from Mississippi, what does that then mean for other states?
I mean, that, you know, we could end up very much, we'd probably end up in very much the same situation, but it would just be a little less clear about the ultimate legality of some of these bans. So the thing with the viability line is that it's a law that under Roe has been a clear demarcation that the attorneys attorney for the Center for Reproductive Rights, as well as the U.S. Solicitor General yesterday, made very clear defending the viability line, that it's this clear demarcation that we've relied upon, and that, you know, viability was articulated by the court at which the state's interest in maintaining the fetal life was significant enough to allow for that to ban abortions in a way that maintains, that acknowledges the woman's liberty right, but also the state's interest in the fetus. And so if they were to uphold this law, it's actually not clear if they could do a number of things. They could uphold the law and say, you know, it's 15 weeks. We don't know what they would say is the relevant or controlling line at that point. They could, you know, issue a limited decision in some way that just says this is just about this one particular ban. in which case it would open, you know, regardless, if there's a new standard that they articulate, there will be a slew of bans and prohibitions put in place, and it'll probably end up in the courts again as all of these different laws go into effect, if they would.
When do we expect this decision to come out?
You know, that's if it was business as usual at the Supreme Court, probably sometime in June. Oftentimes, even if a case is heard relatively early in the Supreme Court term, the major decisions are often issued around in June.
Katie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That was Catherine Kraschel. She's an expert on reproductive law and executive director of the Solomon Center for Health, Law, and Policy at Yale Law School. She was with us today to recap yesterday's Supreme Court oral arguments in a Mississippi case restricting abortion.